Do you think that when we eventually decide to leave this planet, if we leave it, if we can, we're talking about thousands of years from now?
We could start today. We could probably make a feeble effort, but learning to live in outer space is a difficult proposition. And given the fact that we could be wiped out at any moment, it would be in our best interest to get going. Because, yeah, 1,000 years to really master living in outer space on a broad scale with millions of people in colonies and have it successful for long term, in other words, infinity, forever, that's a big order. And we're not going to do it. And just another side note, of course, I'm one of those guys that's critical of NASA, but a program where we're going to send 3 guys to the moon in 20 years is not going to cut it.
No, it really isn't. And then we'd probably have to live in a bubble anyway.
Yeah.
You know, we wouldn't be able to use the atmosphere of any other planet.
Exactly. And I've always thought it's a huge waste to try and land and colonize another planet. It's one of the more difficult things to do. What we have to do is learn how to colonize space in artificial constructs that are just floating out there. The 2001 and the 2010, the Kubrick, the Arthur C. Clarke type of concept of a space city with artificial gravity and then linking these together. So that's one of the things I've tried to do is extend the concepts. And what I've discovered is that nature or the grand designer, whoever you want to call it, I believe that there is a designer or a design that is very visible. But in that design, there are some very specific and very easily identifiable, once you look at them, mechanisms for us to easily go into space for example, electric propulsion systems. We got to get away from this idea of chemical rockets going in the plume of smoke and 7 million pounds of chemical fuel going out the back end of this rocket in a 7-minute period. That's just, it's ridiculous. It's 60-year-old technology, and the technologies do exist, and I talk about them in the book. That part of the Diamond Principle is understanding the electrical nature of the universe and pursuing it and using it to our advantage.
Some people tried to, and governments shut them down, tried to control them, tried to call them charlatans, James.
Right. Well, that's the other part of it, is that there's it might be a mental war over outer space, that there are certain groups that think that that is their private area to go into, and they protect it. I've talked about Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3 science, and Tier 1 science is the science you don't see as the public. It's not allowed. We know there are secret bases. We know that there are engineers who you never see their names, you never hear about them, you don't know who they are, but they're developing technologies that are used out there. And we're left with what I call Tier 2 science. That's what the glossy magazines or the expensive television, cable TV shows are promoting. And this is really the second tier science. I call it the garbage science that they're allowing the public to see. But, yeah, there's definitely a whole level of technology that the public doesn't see but is very necessary for us to go into outer space. On a grand scale.
You talk about control, that our leaders are doing the very best they can to control us. Elaborate on that a little bit, James.
Well, leaders tend to be paranoid. And what do they want? They want you to honor their leadership. If, for example, let's talk about, say, venture capital, which is a banking type of investment concept.
Mm-hmm.
Which expects a big return on its investment because it's a risky business.
Sure.
So if they have a successful one, and you live in the heart of it out there in L.A.
Yeah.
And also the governments who fund science, 99.9% of all science is funded through the government, whether it's engineering, so those are our two funding mechanisms. Neither funding mechanism is appropriate for an entity that you build this big, vast, city in space, send a million people into it, and they go off and never come back. That's not a good investment. That's not something that governments want. And even small groups of people who have tried to break away and have a successful community have a very tough time doing it. They're cornered. They're called all kinds of names, cults, et cetera, and they're basically destroyed before they ever get started. And that's because if they become successful and get away from the burden that's put on the public from these agencies, the world government agencies and the government agencies, then everybody would want to do that because the life would be much easier. It would be like a goose flying south for the winter, and one goose has 40% of his efforts taxed and taken away from with interest, and the other goose doesn't have any. Which goose do you want to be?
Yeah, exactly.
That doesn't take much the thought to decide which goose you want to be.
You've talked about the BP oil spill as an example of inept government. And tell me a little bit about that, because that's going to eventually lead into trying to get off this planet.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, and I think that's the event that really has captured the public in a large scale, because it was such a disaster. But then you see we have one guy in the White House, and just because he lives in a White House off in Washington, D.C., he gets to make a decision, for example, not to allow these foreign ships in who could have cleaned it up right away and prevented the disaster, the pollution disaster, but he wouldn't let them in there because they weren't union in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But why do we have a foreign company here that is controlling our the ability to pollute? And then if that's the case, why doesn't the public simply rise up and say, you don't get to make that decision? We're making it, and those ships are going to come in here and clean this up. And that's what we have to do, because this is bigger than some of our other issues here.
And today they just announced that there's 2 inches of oil, crude, on the ocean floor.
On the ocean floor. And that is going to continue to erode chemicals into the Gulf of Mexico forever.
Yeah, it's going to take a long, long time.
Right, but the other part, the oil spill, it's an economic or ecological disaster. But the other thing is it points out that oil, there are oceans of oil deep in, and they're talking about some of these oceans of oil, 35,000 feet deep, and they're probably much deeper if you went deeper. How did this oil get there, and how did the 18 or 35,000 feet of dirt get on top of it? There's the idea, which I don't agree with, it's called abiotic oil, that somehow oil formed down there. But, of course, what I promote is that oil is from comet tails. And Velikovsky talks about this. All the ancient texts talk about the naphtha coming in from outer space. We have the tar pits. We have oil all over the world. And it literally rained in as Earth, throughout its history, many times passed through the tails of these vast comets.
So I think you and I agree that at least the oil didn't come from dinosaurs and plants.
Yeah, ferns and dinosaur bones, not. That let's stop, exactly. We have to stop thinking and calling this fossil fuel, because it is not. But there is another process afoot here, and it's causing the point is that once the public sees that, it's a very easy way for the public to understand that standard science is wrong and that something very big is going on aside from standard science. And that's one of the main issues that I like to really talk about, because that leads into all kinds of questions. So why do they keep talking about that? Well, let's look at a good example.
All right.
If they say the public understood that comets were not dirty snowballs, that they were electrical in nature. Well, where does that electrical power come from? It comes from a fusion factory called the sun. And we are surrounded by electrical power, and it's free, and we can tap into this. So that would ruin the power structure that's based on oil, which is linked to the governments and the World Bank.